This is Amanda Celine Miller, the voice of Boruto and Sailor Jupiter, and you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
It's time. Talk time. Let's go. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live. Started in the 80s with Matt Cross. Dudes in the hood might have called that soft, but I carried that cross like Jesus did. Fast forward, I teach the kids to learn how to let go, live life, and show love to all things. It don't matter where y'all from. And luckily, there's a show called Talk Time. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Dax kicks the facts on all the geek news. Special guests and unbiased reviews. Suburban kids, the hipster street dudes, all can learn something new. Me too. I heard worse when no faith is empty. I stayed the course, though my haters tempt me. Beep the podcast, that'll make them envy. It ain't too trendy, it's ACMG. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the Prime Show. I am your host, Xavier Josiah. Happy Easter, and not April Fool's Day. This is no April Fool's joke. I'm actually here today because we got a lot to talk about, and I was debating whether we were going to have one today for Easter, but hell, you guys can listen to it throughout the week and enjoy all the things that we talk about here, and it's going to be an interesting show. We actually got not one, but two movie reviews this week. I was supposed to be just Ready Player One, but lo and behold, Suicide Squad Hell to Pay came out, and we're going to talk about that as well, along with a lot of great things that happened this week in the world of anime, comics, movies, and games, including the Mega Ranch show. So without further ado, let's not waste any more time. Let's find out what's new in the world of ACMG.
And now it's time to find out what's new in the world of ACMG.
Super rare skin disease, and it just made me think so much about, man, how much stuff we leave undone and unfinished. Then I saw a quote from someone that said, "Die empty," and I was like, wow, that's what I want to do. So please make sure that you're doing your best to die empty. Give us everything you got, because you owe it to yourself and you owe it to us. You could have the next amazing thing that could change all of our lives. So please, if you got something that wakes you up at night, you can't go to sleep without thinking about it, give it more of your time. Don't let your job, don't let crazy relationships, don't let Facebook or anything like that keep you from your destiny, because your job will kill you creatively. It will kill you, because it almost did it to me. When I finally decided to step away, look at me now. As silly as it sounds, I'm a professional rapper. Professional as fuck. It's so weird, but like, it's so true. So please keep that in mind, y'all. And through that, through those awesome works, you'll all live forever.
All right, folks, just a little bit of a heads up. I am once again suffering from a cold, a head cold of some sort. So if I sound weird or if I'm congested or whatever, please forgive me for this. But it was a lot of running around this week. Going on to see Mega Ran and hit the Generations tour concert, and then going on to Black Tribbles. Shout out to the Black Tribbles. I was back on the show talking pro wrestling, of all things. So all that running around, plus all the things that I do in a normal week, and it just took a toll on me. And I actually had a sore throat for a short stint. It's finally healing up, but we are back on track. But I digress. Which you heard was a little bit of what went on during Mega Ran's Generation Tour concert. And it was one of the most inspirational things I've heard in quite some time. And it's just a testament of how really positive this guy is and how grateful he is of his road that he went on, from becoming a school teacher to becoming a hip-hop artist. You guys have heard, if you're listening, you heard his interview before. If you have not, Don't threat. Go to acmgwarpzone.com/exclusives. Or if you go into acmgwarpzone.com, look at the top tab of your phone or your computer, and you'll see exclusives up there. Just tap on it. You'll see his interview and a whole flock of other interviews from some of the hottest names in anime, comics, movies, and games. And it was great. We had a great time. Myself, it was a standing room only crowd on a Tuesday, no doubt. They packed it at Philomoka in Philadelphia. And love really cool, intimate, you know, areas like that where people can perform and really enjoy it. It's kind of like how it is with independent wrestling, you know, promotions. You got a really intimate crowd that really is appreciative of the work that you put in. And this was no different. They packed this house insanely. And the even better part about it is that it wasn't just all one ethnicity. It was like a whole diverse crowd of people enjoying, you know, nerdcore hip hop or hip hop in general. And it was fascinating to see that, because it reminded me of the 80s. You know, I was an 80s kid, and back then there was it wasn't labeled to just one, you know, ethnic background or social group. It was hip hop was for everybody, no more than pop culture. Pop music was for everybody. You know, we all love music in general. And to see that, I felt like I was in a scene from Beach Street or Breaking, for that matter. But it was awesome to be in there. And shout out to the winners of the Make It Rain contest, that being Dietz Hobsons, also known as Trey Digga, and also Craig Holland, who was there. He got a chance to meet Megaran for the first time, and he absolutely enjoyed it. He was blown away just as much as I was. We not only got to see Megaran perform, but we got to see all the acts before him. And let me tell you, those of you who listen to mainstream hip-hop on the norm and is just wondering where the direction of hip-hop is going, don't worry. That stuff's just that's just the cookie cutter crap. If you want real hip hop, it's nice and safe and maintained in its foundation in the underground. Let me tell you that, because these guys not only are performing some really cool, you know, genres of music and style of music in a 90s type of way too. That's the other cool part. But they're keeping the purity of hip hop and keeping it fun, keeping it conscious, you know, just, and you know, the style and the way that some of them are actually spitting and rapping, it's something I haven't heard in quite some time. And it's like they took the traditional style and the old way and the old styles and just keeping it preserving it and perfecting it. It's just such a great thing. So I mean, like, it was some really good innovative things. We had Gavin Raleigh, who was there to open up the show, and this dude had a very interesting concept that allowed the crowd to be interactive with him, because he was doing sort of like a Telltale Games type of way of, you know, performing, where he's telling a story and we're following him and we get to choose the direction that, you know, we go from there. So he, no matter what direction he's going to go to, he has a verse for each side depending on where we go, which is really cool and not easy to do, I'm sure. So, I mean, he was a great, great opener to do the show. We then had a wild card, in my opinion. Many of you who listen to, you know, underground hip-hop and nerdcore hip-hop know this dude, but it's the first time I've ever experienced him, and I felt like I should have been warned. None like Joshua. This dude, his rap style is so cut through. It's sick. I mean, I was not prepared for what he was about to do. This dude, it's like, I've said this before, I've even wrote it on, but I do have the article on ACMG Warp Zone, which you can see if you go there, but he's the reason why the Sokovia Accords has been created. His power, you know, that is his rap style, is just like so unstable. It is sick. And anybody else who will probably have that power would know how to use that power. He handles it very well, and it's insane how you just got to hear it. You just really got to hear it. Like I said, if you go into acmgwarpzone.com, not only is the article there, but you'll see actual video footage of his performances, which he did just a few of them, not all of them, because he did one of Rick and Morty, which was a great starter. absolutely great starter. He then went on to Samurai Jack, which was really cool and awesome. But then he hit on this Rock Lee song that he did, and it just literally took it to a whole nother level from there. And you thought that was over. He went off in honor of Dragon Ball Super. He did a song totally based on Goku's first transformation of Ultra Instinct Mode, in which he calls it Ultra Instinct Mode. And I was already sold. I immediately went looking for his music on iTunes the minute I was done. It was so awesome. This dude is... I can't wait to have him on his show. I've already spoke with him at the show and on Twitter. And yeah, I will be planning to get him very soon on the show to talk about his rap style and everything, his favorite genres. And oh man, he was absolutely awesome. So I mean, you had him to go on, and then it just didn't stop there. You had the one and only Samus up here, and this is the first time I actually got to see her in person. I do own the DJ Cutman album with him and her called Another M. Highly recommend you go check that out, and everything that Samus and None Like Josh all as well, and Garvin Riley as well, you know, go out of their way to get their work and, you know, help them get to where they deserve to be. Samus is something else, man. She is a voice that we need. You know, it was just, not only is she royalty, goddess-like royalty for that matter, but she just really had a great voice. Not in a sense that, like, just having a voice, but a voice where it explains and it expresses things that many in this society are just too afraid to talk about or too afraid to, you know, stand up for. I literally call her the voice of the voiceless, or the voice for the voiceless. And she was like, most of her, you know, songs that she was rapping about was just talking about things that she can identify with, things that we can identify with, situations that we pretty much don't get to discuss, and, you know, standing up for herself as her ethnic identity and her sexuality and stuff like that, and just really being in an abrasive, you know, an abrasive spirit. I mean, we talk about like Chuck D and Lauryn Hill and, you know, Large Professor and, you know, Moni Love, Queen Latifah, stuff like that. You know, she's taken that baton from them and is going with her way. And really, and she's a PhD, from what I understand, too. So I'm really interested in talking to her about that as well. She will also be working on being on a show with her as well. I am intrigued by her. And she said she was from Philly, too, so that's even better. So I'm very much intrigued to talk with her and, you know, get to learn more about her and her road as well. And it's just great to see. She's a tremendous talent. And then we topped it off with Mega Ran at the end. Of course, the main event, you know, literally the Ric Flair of the bunch, because he came out with Ric Flair with the, what is it, the Odyssey 2000 song to start it off, to really put him in. And, excuse me, not only that, he did me a solid here, because I made two hoodies especially for him, that because he was rock when we premiered the Talk Time Live theme song, the video version of it. You know, he noticed that I had my Unicron ACMG Unicron hoodie on, and he was digging it. So I was like, "Look, I'll do you a solid. I'll do one specially made, two of them specially made for you." So I rocked him two of them. He rocked one of them on stage for three different performances, and I wasn't expecting it. That was not planned. And it was awesome. It was really awesome to see him on stage, to see him sing some of everybody's favorite songs and representing ACMG at the same time. And it was just one of those moments, man. You know, you really think of stuff that you want to do in life, or you have a, you know, passion project that you want to do, and you want to see this through, and you work your tail off to make things happen. And lo and behold, it happens, but it also supersedes your expectations at times. You know, and to see all of the people, you know, and meet all the people that I had the chance of meeting that done some awesome stuff, like him, like Kyle Haber, Molly Flanagan, Chris Battle from the Teen Titans Go, and all these other people I get to, you know, talk to and learn from. It's just such an awesome experience, and just to see that is just another milestone testament for me personally to see that happen. And it was an absolutely great show. It was on a Tuesday, for that matter, so that's the thing that was weird, because, you know, normally a performance on a Tuesday, that's really not, but they packed the house. People came in to see him. It was a great deal. And take note, Even Rand said that. He was like, you know, there's a lot of things on Tuesday for you guys to come down here. So that just says, like, I mean, look, Black Lightning, The Flash, WWE SmackDown, you know, which he was on at one point. You know, yeah, there are other things to watch, but, you know, this is a once, you know, we don't get to see him or any of these guys come in town much. And they were touring all over the United States for a whole entire month during the Generations tour. And I got to believe that it was a very successful tour for them. You know, the tour is officially over now. He's going to be doing some other things. WrestleMania is coming next week, so they're going to do that. And it's going to be a deal. And of course, Mega Ran, we already talked. He's going to be back on the show probably down the line, maybe a month from now, something like that, when he finally gets some rest. But we got a lot to talk about. You know, the stuff that he's going through. So thank you to all of them. Every one of them. They all did tremendously. Literally. I he came to me. It was like after Seamus's performance, and he asked me, it was just like the first time I ever seen Seamus. I'm like, yeah, in person, yes. But this whole entire lineup is sick. I mean, like, this literally was the best Tuesday night ever. Which then he went on the stage to say the same thing, which was awesome, which was cool too. And also the fact that he interacted with everybody in the crowd and greeted everybody, and, you know, all of them were really well done. They really appreciative of the fans that come out to see him. Trey Digger got to be on stage with him. He acknowledged, you know, during his freestyle, he did like a 6-minute freestyle, you know, when people actually put up items up, and Craig Holland got acknowledged for his Eagles, you know, tag. And I think it was a keychain or something like that. And he spit something about that. I mean, it was a cool thing. I believe he does this a lot at the end of his shows, where he just freestyles different things based on items that he see, which is cool. And he really knocked it out. It was a great show, awesome show on behalf of all of them. They did a great job. I'm looking forward to talking to a lot of those guys in the near future very soon. If you want to check them out, definitely go to Megaran website at megaran.com. Go to, I believe you could go to Garvin's Raleigh Smoke Machine at garvinsraleighsmokemachine.bandcamp.com. You can go to Seamus' website at SamusMusic.com. And last but certainly not least, None Like Joshua is on NoneLikeJoshua.com. So definitely go out of your way to embrace all of them. They're phenomenal. Like, together, they're damn near like any comic book combination. The Avengers, X-Force, X-Men. Dude, these guys each are their own power. And combined, they're unstoppable. I mean, this is like, these are like the new age of the native tongues. If you're hip hop, you know, rat like I am, you know what that is. You know who that is. Tribe Called Quest, Jungle Brothers, you know, Black Sheep, yada, yada, yada. You know, just countless people just coming together to make one directional sound. And this is what I'm seeing right here. I am a very happy hip hop fan right now. So great job on all these guys. So moving on to some other news here. Funimation announced it's spring 2018 semi-dub lineup, which is basically the shows that are going to be both subtitled and dubbed and normally released at the same time as the Japanese version. So, which is a great thing that Funimation has done since, I believe, last year they started this with My Hero Academia. When My Hero Academia episodes come out, like, live on that time, at the time, we already get our English version the same time. So it's really awesome. So, which means, like, all the voice actors are out, you know, working on these episodes. I don't know if they're working on them, like, a bunch of episodes pre, or they working on each episode at the same, you know, one at a time. But it's a great thing to see that they do that. Because years ago, during the 90s, when we were just tape trading VHS tapes of anime, we've never thought we would ever get to this level of being able to get an anime, not let alone have anime on a norm. It's like a norm for these kids now. These kids don't understand how great it is that they have all this source of anime available to them, where we had to literally find trade tapes, go down to, like, you know, certain stores that sold them, comic book stores or Chinatown or whatever like that, that would sell these tapes. and enjoy them for what they were. Now we get them at the ready. We got Crunchyroll. We got Funimation. We got, what else? Tubi. I mean, there's so many streaming sites now that have anime in there. Netflix, Hulu, all that at the access. And now Funimation has even doubled, has even topped it by just like having, you know, dub and subtitle episodes at the ready as they air at the same time. So, you know, their lineup is here, and let's see what they got, because it's now, it is officially April, and by the way, we're now at the final four of the Marvel movie countdown. Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Thor, and I'm missing something here. There are four left, I believe. Spider-Man, Thor? I'm missing something, but nonetheless, we are at our final four with that there. So 4 weeks away from the absolute much anticipated main event, Infinity War. So definitely stay tuned for that. But I digress. The lineup here is My Hero Academia, which is scheduled for April 7th. So next week, we're going to be back in next Saturday. Oh, you know what? It looks like they're going to take over the slot for with Dragon Ball Super. Because as you know, Dragon Ball Super's over, so they're going to probably take over that slot of probably going like somewhere in 9:30. That's a Saturday, I believe. So, Tokyo Ghoul, Steins Gate Zero, that's going to be very interesting. Gia is going to be very much interested in that. High School D&D, Full Metal Panic, Invisible Victory, Golden Kamuy, and all available on dub this season. And this is going to be really cool. I mean, if you own Funimation, the actual app, highly recommend it. It's a great app. Excuse me, I had to actually get something in my throat. It's a great app for, you know, anime fans, especially those who really do like both subtitles and dub. You know, it's mostly for the dub fans, to be honest, because there's Crunchyroll, who has some of the same content and some different content as well, but it's mostly all subtitle. But Funimation embraces all of the dub stuff that they have. So I'm a dubber. If I have to, I'll watch a subtitle anime. But if I don't, I'm going straight to dub with it. So, because I believe the quality of the dubs are way better than they ever were in this day and age. So I fully enjoy it for what it is. It's the same cultural content just made to translate for our enjoyment. That's pretty much what it is. No reason to be anime uppity about it. So, but yeah, it's a really great app. I forgot how much it costs. I paid it in advance. Paid like a few years in advance under negotiation, sort of, kind of. And not by them. This is just basically a paired agreement. But Funimation now is a really great app. Like I said, you get to see a lot of the anime and dub, and it's a huge library of anime there. Like if you're a true otaku, this is an absolutely joyful amount of library. And so is Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll has some really great anime too. Like I know Hajime no Ippo is on there, which is like Boxer Ippo, which is one of the best boxing sport animes ever. On there, but they only have it a subtitle, I believe. Tiger Mask W is on there, which also is now on Tubi for free. So you don't have to, if you really want to watch Tiger Mask W, you don't have to watch, you know, pay for that to go. You could, they now have it on Tubi, so you could go on there, and that's a free app. So, you know, but definitely it's just great time to be a fan of anime indeed. So, go out of your way to definitely get that and look forward to that next week. I can't wait to get my hands on My Hero Academia, because if any of you read the manga, it's about to get heated. It's really about to get heated. I've read up to a certain point with My Hero, but along to the point of a big climatic situation that's going to happen between the villains and All Might and all the other the students and everything. It's going to be crazy. So stay tuned for that as well. So let's go into some comic book news real quick. We actually got Marvel Comics with their big announcement. And it really was huge. Kind of not surprised to an extent of what they were announcing. But basically, they were talking about doing a new fresh start again, which means just a new chapter. I don't know what that means to an extent until we actually read these books. But effective immediately. There's going to be a new Captain America number one, a new Black Panther number one, a new book for Captain Marvel called Life of Captain Marvel number one. But the big one that they announced, it's official. You could tell Fox is actually brought by them. they acquisitioned it, because the Fantastic Four is officially coming back. Not only are they coming back, but they're coming back and they're bringing along two major Spider-Man team members, and that is Dan Slott and Sarah Pacelli, both known for working on Spider-Man. Dan Slott, I believe, he wrote for that, for a lot of the amazing books. And Sarah Pacelli, if you know, she was one of the original artists for Ultimate Spider-Man, or the Miles Morales version of Spider-Man. So that is going to be awesome. I'm actually interested in this because of those two. I thought they did a great job on both Spider-Man books. So it's going to be really cool to see the dialogue and writing of, you know, Dan Slott and Sarah Pacelli's artwork come to motion, especially when doing like The Thing and such. I expect that to be, she's a really great artist. I expect that to be a really good show there. So here, from that point, we got we're going to go to DC real quick. And in DC, we got the Death of Superman sneak peek video that they showed. It's like a 6-minute video, and some really interesting things coming out of this is that they have new actors to play certain roles now. Jerry O'Connell, if you guys remember Jerry O'Connell, he's been a ton of movies, ton of shows. I just remember him from My Secret Identity, which if any of you guys know that show, you're my age. So he was a kid when that show came out, and he had superhero powers, but it's kind of like the Greatest American Hero, but he kind of flew using like aerosol cans. It was really weird. But yeah, that's where he started. I can't believe how far his road has gone. So he came from playing in My Secret Identity to now becoming the man. He will be playing the voice of Superman for the Death of Superman. Now, great, take note, there is, if you ask, like, if this is the same thing, they did do another version of the Death of Superman before, but I think they recognize, and people were saying that, you know, it didn't really live up to the expectations of the comic book, or it didn't do it justice, to say. So they're doing another version, but this one is different either. This won't even be totally, this will even further not based on the original, because this one's kind of based on, they kind of mashed the 52 universe into this, and now there's going to be more, you know, characters, because the original, if you've read the original Death of Superman, it really didn't involve any of the superhero characters, to my knowledge, especially that one book alone when he died. It was just him versus Doomsday. So it looks like they're adding a different type of, you know, feel with the storyline, adding, you know, Batman and a few other, Wonder Woman and a few other characters in there. So, yeah, Jerry O'Connell's going to play Superman. Rebecca Romijn returns, and now she's the voice of Lois Lane. So you got that. You got Jason O'Mara as Batman. He's returning, reprising that role. Rosario Dawson also was reprising her role as Wonder Woman as well. And there's going to be a few other, you know, superheroes in there as well, all culminating to this. So it looks really good. It looks really, really good. I expect this to be better than the first one. I actually didn't mind the first one. I do recognize that there was some continuity changes and people felt that it didn't live up to the expectations of what they wanted to see. So I don't know what this one's going to do, but I, you know, all of the animations have gotten much better, both in story and in quality of animation. So with the exception of the Teen Titans, that one kind of fell off just a tiny bit, but the story was still there. The story was still good. But nonetheless, it was, I absolutely looking forward to it. So it should be coming out very soon. But what came out now, unbeknownst to me, and shout out to Brian McLean for reminding me that this was out, because he posted on our ACMG Facebook group that Suicide Squad Hell to Pay was released, and I finally got a chance to see this movie. Let me say, I was not expecting this movie to be as good as I thought it was going to be. It actually was excellent. I liked the first one, which was based on the Arkham series. I don't think this one was not based on Arkham series. This one was based on the actual animated universe that was connected to the Justice League and all that stuff. So much so, and I'm trying not to spoil this for those who haven't watched it yet, but there is a huge connection to this, to previous movies. In fact, the movies that started all of this. It's in there. So, I mean, there's a lot going on in this show, on this movie here. And basically, the storyline here is that Amanda Waller is getting the Task Force X to retrieve what is called the Black Card. And this card apparently gives anybody who dies a passageway to get through, to not go to hell for their sins and go straight to heaven. It's this one card that you get, and once it's done, you no longer get a chance to use it. So there were a few people in there that it is aiming for. One was Amanda Waller, because we all know her sins and everything she's done, and she feels like she's not going to go to heaven by any stretch. So she felt, and it from what it looks like, is that like she has some type of terminal disease of some sort. So she's in borrowed time. Then you have Reverse Flash, or Zoom, which is the Hunter Zolomon version, and he's looking for it for some reason, and noticeably there's something wrong with him, and I won't, if I say any more, I will spoil it, but you will find out, and it's awesome. So you got that going on here, and then follow that, you got Vandal Savage, who's also looking for it as well. Although he is immortal, he also is not. He can still die. He can still, he's immortal if he's not touched. And the more that he fights with the Justice League, he feels that he has even less of a chance of, maintaining his immortality. So he figured getting the Black Card, if anything happens, will give him his way through heaven as well. Very interesting McGovern that they're going after here. And it leads into a whole different type of thing. We got a whole flock of new cast members, none of them of which has anything to do with Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. This is totally all new characters. And this is the great part I loved about it, was that it was devoid of all the norms in here. None of them. I mean, if anything, Harley Quinn was the only one in there that was Batman related. But other than that, it was just everything else was different. You had, and the actress for this one and actresses for this one was really great too. Amanda Waller, I was trying to figure out this voice, because it could have went to anybody in this case. It wasn't the norm. But Vanessa Williams was playing Amanda Waller, and she did a great job here. A really, really great job playing it, which I wonder why. Because this version of Amanda Waller was kind of like a little bit more in shape and slender. And I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense there as to why they probably did it that way, because Vanessa Williams is doing it, and she did a phenomenal job. I absolutely loved her as Amanda Waller. And Christian Slater, I recognized his voice immediately without even looking at the credits or looking at IMDb. He played the voice of Deadshot. His voice is just so obvious and so iconic at this point. You know, nobody talks like Christian Slater. I liked him. I liked his version of Deadshot. It was really cool. And it really told a story, a big focus on him, as well as what was the other one? Billy Brown, who played Bronze Tiger. And Bronze Tiger was kind of the really big MVP focus on here, too. He did a great job as that character as well. And their storyline, that, they have his backstory, and he was really pulling his weight on this series, too. Tara Strong reprises her role as Harley Quinn. I know people were saying, Bernadette from Big Bang Theory, played it on Batman and Harley Quinn, and people were still wondering why. We still never got answers as to why that was, but she reprised the role here as Harley Quinn, the original voice of Harley Quinn. And Danaya Ramirez played Scandal Savage, which I believe is the daughter of Vandal. And Danaya Ramirez, but first of all, I love the name Ramirez. It's such a cool, suave name. I always wanted to call, be called that. Or I actually was one of my favorite characters was Ramirez from Highlander, and the name was just so suave and swag. It was just cool. But You know, Danaya Ramirez, if you guys don't recognize the name, you probably remember her. She was Calypso from X3, which went now that I mention it, you probably want to forget it. So, but she was kind of an interesting standout from that movie for reasons. But, you know, it was they had a whole flock of other characters, but these were the main focuses here. Even C. Thomas Howell as Zoom, which I believe he was Zoom before, you know, he was in here. And just all great, you know, roles. It was, the story was really cool. It felt different. It was almost like a Tarantino type of, you know, film where it was just like extremely violent. It really, the dialogue and the character development and everything, it was just really well done. I love what they did with it. Go out of your way to check out Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay, man. It's one of the best ones. At least one of my favorites so far. That did not include Batman or Superman or anybody at all. It was a really great show, movie. And if you want something that will take you away from the norm of the DC animation films, this is cool. Also, a good favorite too was Killer Frost in there too. So it was a lot of great characters in there. But go out of your way to check that out and let us know what you think. But ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this version of What's New in the World of ACNG. We're going to take a break, come back. And when we do, we're going to talk Ready Player One. We'll do that right after this.
We bring you the hottest guests in the world of ACMG.
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
Hey, what's happening? This is TC Carson.
This is Amanda Celine Miller, the voice of Boruto and Sailor Jupiter.
Hi guys, this is Ruben Langdon.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Hi there, this is Vic Mignogna.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
Hey there, this is Kyle Hebert, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
And you are listening.
And you are listening.
You are listening.
You're listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
Hadouken!
Here's your easy access to all of the hottest guests we had on Talk Time Live. Just go to www.acmgwarpzone.com/exclusives or go to the exclusives tab on the left of the website.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go, and you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
And now, it's time for your talk topic of the week. Ready? Fight!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with our talk topic of the week, and it is our review of Ready Player One, the much-anticipated Steven Spielberg title. For those who especially who read the book, get a chance to see him bring this story to life. And I've never read the book before. I'm very interested in seeing those who have seen or read the book know what they think. But as a person who didn't see it and just saw the movie for the first time, I gotta say, I absolutely thought this movie was awesome. This was just an excellently done film. And I call it the overdose of all things anime, comics, movies, and games. Like, every bit of fanfare from all those genres are in here. It is just unbelievable of the amount of fanfare that you've seen in here. It's just pretty much was just like, this is the new Scott Pilgrim to me. Like, this is that good. This is the new Scott Pilgrim meets Wreck-It Ralph. That's the best way I can put it together as to, you know, what you're going to expect if you're looking forward to seeing this movie. If you've seen Scott Pilgrim before, you remember how great that movie was. And if you've seen Wreck-It Ralph, of course, which a lot more people have seen that than they've seen Scott Pilgrim. But you mash those together, you get Ready Player One, plain and simple. So, and which is a complete overdose of like 80s and pop culture genre all alike. I mean, just the best way put together. So this is one of my favorite Steven Spielberg films, bar none, right now. And I'm saying a lot because he's done a lot of films. He's done a hell of a lot of films in the past. But, you know, here we have the story basically covers the creator known as Holiday creates a virtual world that he calls the Oasis during a time when society and the world is, you know, economically dead, you know, and it's damn near you could say it's apocalyptic at this point. And, you know, these guys are living in trailer parks that are stacked upon trailer parks to make like skyscrapers. It's really, really, really bad. It's almost like they're living in a junk heap at this point, you know, extremely lower developed communities at this point. And the one thing that they have to rid themselves of reality is the Oasis, which takes them, this gives them the opportunity to go into a virtual world where they could be anything and do anything. Along the way, you make you their credit, their currency is made from this as well. So technically, it's like almost like everybody's working in the Oasis and living in the Oasis and earning their keep in the Oasis. It's really interesting how that's done. And lo and behold, Holiday, you know, announced that there's one magic Easter egg, which actually does pay homage to the original Atari creator. I forgot what game it was that he said, but he left the Easter egg, the very first Easter egg on an Atari game. And it, again, playing a lot of homage to video games at its Paleolithic sense. You know, it's just so awesome what they did with this and how much tribute that they paid to every single genre that we love here. This is the ultimate ACMG movie, pretty much. I mean, I almost wish that I could actually have our mark on there, per se, just say that we were a part of this. But it was absolutely great to see this. And, you know, lo and behold, you have these guys, you know, this big army of this company who actually pretty much is like a virtual army, try to find this Easter egg. You got everybody looking for this Easter egg because whoever finds this Easter egg owns the entire Oasis and the company that, you know, that it is connected to. So they get all the rights, everything that goes to it. But there's always a Easter egg within an Easter egg in here. So you have Ty Sheridan, who plays Wade, a.k.a. Paul Zavo, and he's actually the first guy to figure it out and get the key, the three keys needed to open and get this egg. So him, along with Olivia Cook, who also plays Artemis, aka Samantha, Lena Wraith, I believe, playing Helen. And I love this actress because she was on she was Masters of None, and I really marked out when I saw her because she's so great on that show. I love her on there. TJ Miller, surprisingly, was on this show. You know, all controversy aside, he was in this movie. He's going to be on Deadpool again, I believe, too, as IROK, which was a really badass looking avatar, but it just had TJ Miller's comedic self in there. He did really well on air, too. Philip Zoe played a character named Zoe. This is an 11-year-old kid, apparently, which is funny because I want to segue right here that I was in the theater watching this at one time, and sitting next to me was this kid. It probably looked like almost the same age as the character show, and I was amazed at this kid. He was by himself. He came. He went to see this movie by himself. Almost thought he was like Webster or Gary Coleman to an extent, because he knew way too much about a lot of the pop culture. It's one thing to know about anime and the games and such, but he knew about the old Atari games. I was listening to him, you know, talk about these games to himself, and then he also knew about some 80s references too. And I'm like, and this kid is not old enough to remember this stuff. So which means that he went into deep research of himself to figure this out. I was really amazed by this kid. And I told him, like, yeah, keep up the good work with your research, man, with your fandoms and love and all that stuff. I thought that kid was awesome. I mean, normally people would probably be annoyed by him, but I took that into different perspective. I'm like, this kid actually knows a hell of a lot about some of the things that, like, kids his age don't even know about. Hell, the kids older than him doesn't even know about. I dug that. So I really enjoyed that as well. So shout out to that kid out there. Keep up the great work there. But this movie had so much cool moments in here. I mean, they had the scene from The Shining on here, and that was really creepy because that was all CGI'd. And they were in avatar mode, so you're mixing like these two different types of things going on here, and it was really well done. And they had some of the most memorable moments of The Shining on there. And you know, they had, you know, Wade driving the DeLorean, and Artemis driving the Akira bike from the anime Akira. And who else? I think it was a show, or it wasn't a show. I forgot which one it was. It was the other guy. It was Daito, who I believe came out with the original Gundam to fight Sarento, which was like Ben Mendelsohn. And I'm probably butchering these names, of course, as always. But it was just a great show. It was absolutely great movie. And just to see everybody try to reach for the goal of the Easter egg was really great, and going through these different levels and such and figuring out these clues. But the message in there was very much more important, and it does reflect on the things that we do in our normal everyday life right now. To basically, you know, love it, basically was, it felt like it was just giving a message like, enjoy social media, but alpha social media, and actually engage in each other. And we don't do that enough. That is absolutely true. I am a big proponent of that myself, which is why I have to get out of my office from time to time, forcefully get out of my office sometime, because I'm always working. And sometimes I can't help it, but it has to be done. But I have to get out sometime and actually socialize with people. So, you know, it gave a great message of that. And it just, like, again, paid so much homage to Atari, paid so much homage to a lot of different factors in here. This is a really great movie. I highly, absolutely recommend this movie to anybody who loves anything anime, comics, movies, and games. I mean, truthfully, this is just great. Is this the best movie I've seen so far that wasn't Black Panther? I would actually say, yeah. I would absolutely say, yeah, at this point. This is going to be a memorable cult classic, another one of Steven Spielberg's great films that he put together. And just looking at this and experiencing this, it just reminds me, I forgot, they had Bigfoot in there and Iron Giant in there as well. It's really just a lot of cool things about this movie that was in there. But, you know, this is going to be like one of those cult classics that comes by, definitely. Yeah, and I'm looking back now. Pacific Rim I reviewed last week. Yeah, Pacific Rim was good. This was absolutely great. I definitely give this a great rating for this. So this probably gets an 8 out of 10 for me, even almost a 9 out of 10 for me, as far as really great, you know, films that I've seen so far. And great job on all the cast and everybody there. It's just one of those standalone movies that doesn't need to be a sequel. I don't know if there's another book out or whatever like that, but it just, you know, Steven Spielberg is great on making movies that just stands alone. And you don't have to touch it. It could be a classic from there. They can probably reboot this later on, years from now. But right now, this has a ton of legs to stand on. If you thought about seeing this movie and you were, you know, wondering about seeing this movie, go out of your way to see this movie. Really great. Absolutely great. You'll love it. You won't go wrong with it. It's really well done. So, ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to us here and everything that we do at ACMG Presents Talk Time Live as well. So stay tuned for Select Start. We got a lot of things going on next week, you know, as far as the world of gaming. I guess some more reviews coming. On some actual accessories this time, and a little bit more going on here. So stay tuned for that. Sengoku 3 I'm going to review as well. As well as the original Punch-Out. So we got a chance to play that too. So, and I'm pretty sure more news will come from there. So, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of myself and my sick old self, this is Dak Xavier Josiah saying, learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. I am out of here. Take care.
This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.